I'm a fool, but I'll love you, dear, until the day I die. Now and then, there's a fool such as I.
Ridgeway, and I am joined by Asmodor. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, especially now that I'm the official co-host of Hate House until you decide to get rid of me.
Boom.
Hey, fucking niggers!
Just like that. So, right off the bat, we have a video about black people and what a world would be like without them. And those who were surveyed.
Is the title of this video White Heaven?
Hey, a world without black people to be some, you know, evil, shitty, bland, just wasteland of no culture, barren of all taste and color.
So this is science fiction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great because at one point in time they asked... Dude, there's this nigger talking, and he's just like,
"Yeah, we gotta get everybody together, man. You know, people, the world could be so good and shit."
And it's like, dude, you sound as fucking stupid as the idea that you're saying.
you can hear the gears grinding to a halt in his brain.
yeah, dude. He had no idea what the fuck was going on. He's like,
you know, people coming together. It's like, nah, nigger, sorry. Nope, niggers.
But this is a video I see. It's like the, on YouTube and shit. I'll post the link in the show description because you do really got to watch it because these people's facial expressions and shit, you're just like, man, what a bunch of fucking faggots.
Okay, well, I've never heard this, so I guess it'll be like a extemporaneous hot takes coming from me.
Well, you know what else? I hope that my you know how my voice meter's been being a huge piece of shit. I hope the volume on this is loud enough.
Yeah, voice meter is a Jew.
Yeah, voice meter is a fucking huge pile of shit, but it's all the huge pile of shit.
It's worth every penny you paid for it.
Not a goddamn cent. But I also fucking, dude, they, all right, so pause on the content for a second, but I was trying to download the audio cable and everyone's like, oh, it's free. And I get in there and I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on with this. And I could never figure it out. So I honestly don't even know how I'm recording a show and how I've been doing it for the last like 35 episodes.
Well,
it works. So what the fuck ever. I'm not pressed about it. But yeah, hope it works kind of.
It seems to be working tonight. So knock wood.
Yeah, I hope that we can listen to this fucking bunch of rejects, shitty people here. So.
Yeah, I'm not doing it solo, bro.
Look at you.
Yeah. Right, so the question is, what would the world look like without black people?
Okay, pause for a second. So he asks, what would the world look like without black people? And in your mind, I want you to imagine one fat nigger who looks like Biggie Smalls. And beside him, a nigger who looks like Common, the rapper. But he's got like waves and shit in his hair. And he's wearing a shirt that says, I can't breathe. I'm out here on the corner selling Lucy's, my nigga. And and I don't know.
What would the world smell like without niggers? I mean, black people.
Well, dude, the look of just bewilderment on these two guys' faces. They're like, a world without niggers? Man. So it's like they're trying to grasp some, you know, deep philosophical concept, but it's really just man, how awesome could the world be, you know? Fuck. So, let's hear what they got to say.
Okay.
White faggot.
Whoa.
But that's a hard question.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be here.
I mean, we wouldn't have a president.
We wouldn't have a president.
Yeah. There would be nobody to step up and be the president without this communist nigger.
Dude, not one person. His fucking dude. So listen. Blacks are so stupid. Like, if Obama wasn't there, do you know who would be? Joe Biden. So, I mean, obviously this isn't current we're talking about, but I just found this today.
Or Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Well, no, Biden was fucking Obama's vice president. So, if in the event of something happened to niggers, like some mass, you know.
So this is not like if there had never been niggers. It's like if niggers suddenly vanished.
Yeah. Well, no. Oh, shit. No, this would never be niggers, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, no, because there's at one point in time this fucking faggot chink or jap or whatever the fuck, some zipper head, is like, man, we wouldn't have hip-hop. Fuck, dog.
Well, no hip-hop. No hip-a-hoppa?
Yeah, hip-hop. It's like, yeah, dude, oh, my God. No hip-hop. Fuck. We wouldn't have a president, though.
I don't know, but be less fried cheeky.
And all the blacks that you see in this video, none of them are black. You know what I mean? They're all, like, white presenting. This is, like, in Silicon. These are, like, niggers in Silicon Valley.
Well, this was heavily edited.
Heavily edited. And because they all are, like, hipster niggers. So, I don't know. But
it would look all white.
The world would look like Hollywood, I think.
Jewish?
A world without Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, dude. Who would hunt the vampires? We have market demand for vampire hunters. Oh,
right.
Wait a minute. Abraham Lincoln was also a vampire hunter, along with being a shitty president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vampire hunter also
How could Abraham Lincoln hunt vampires without being a vampire? Because, see, Wesley Snipes was a vampire, but that dark black skin gave him the superpower of going out in the sun. And that's how he hunted the vampires.
Shit, nigga. All right, so here, back to this video. They asked us, you got this nigger comes on right now who's about to answer the question. I want you to picture Bill Cosby wearing cheetah rimmed glasses with gray dreads.
Okay.
Kind of bland, kind of vanilla.
Dude, that guy just said music as we know it would not exist without niggers.
I could live with that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that I could give up for a world without niggers.
Dude, music wouldn't be any worse. Music would probably be better if we weren't stuck in, if fucking society wasn't stuck in this mud, this ruck of listening to this filth, this degenerate nonsense. These niggers are just like, yeah. Ooga booga mud, dick nigga. Like, I was fucking these white.
There would be almost no rape.
Yeah. Yeah, there would be almost no rape. There'd almost be no violent crime. Our crime statistics in this country would be comparable to that of, like, you know, Sweden, you know, 20 years ago or something.
Our national median IQ would go up by 10 points.
Yeah, we could actually start progressing educationally, you know what I mean? Instead of, like, what? Holding back to, like, make sure niggers can catch up.
Well, you know, right after we got to the moon, we collectively had a decision to make. We decided we can either continue on with the space program and, you know, reach the stars.
No,
or we could have niggers.
Yeah, the meme checks out. You can go to space or niggers. I'll take that. Nope.
We need niggers.
Yeah, no, we need them, dude. Because music, what would we do? And now we have some Asian chick in a beanie, and she says,
"What my soul would be like without Ryan McKnight?
There would be no hip hop. Oh crap, that would suck."
Yeah. The That would suck a lot because I love hip hop.
there would be no watermelon. Oh my god.
Yeah, well, no, there'd be a surplus because there'd be no niggers here to eat it.
Oh, I thought they invented it. Hey, there'd be no peanut butter.
Oh my god, as if, dude, fucking, as if I couldn't figure out, or like anybody, none of our white ancestors would have figured it out eventually.
Yeah, well, in before, somebody in the comments section says there were patents for basically peanut butter going back to the 1600s.
Oh shit, is that true?
Yeah, they just didn't call it peanut butter, they called it peanut paste or whatever. But yeah, I mean, peanut butter is just, I mean, how do you invent that shit? Peanut butter is, you take
the ingredients.
You put some oil on them. You mash that shit up. Peanut butter.
Boom. Finished.
It's a recipe. It's not a fucking invention.
Enjoy.
It's like, who invented fried chicken? Well, that's not an invention.
No, dude. These are all ingredients.
I invented the bologna sandwich with hot Cheetos. You know, what you do is you make your regular bologna sandwich and you put some hot Cheetos on there and you put the other piece of bread on that bitch. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, dude. I like to dip my Doritos in ketchup.
Do you?
No, dude. That's fucking disgusting.
It is. But, I mean, you know, niggers are big on these inventions. And yeah. I mean, I actually saw this nigger.
I invented the banana, nigger, shit.
I invented this sandwich. And he made a YouTube video on it. And he says, the best sandwich ever. It's the hot Cheetos bologna sandwich.
Yeah, my fucking God. Me and my niggers feast, you know, fuck the sun, my nigger. The feast has begun because me and my niggers is about to have some bologna. Bologna Cheeto sandwiches.
Yeah. You know, when it's close to the first of the month, we be having the bologna and Cheeto sandwiches.
Yeah, dude.
When it gets towards the end of the month, we be eating that wick cheese and shit. Yeah,
cue up the Bone Thugs and Harmony right now.
Go for it.
No, I'm kidding. I'm not fucking playing that nigger shit on here.
Listen, if people love black people as much as they love black culture, everything will be fine. Everyone
Sorry, I disagree.
Yeah, who the fuck loves black culture? If people love black culture so much, they'd all move to the hood.
And it's like, I want you, like, listen to this also. Do me a favor, niggers. Define for me black culture, because as far as I can tell, these people are chameleons. They are one of two things, when they are either white presenting, where they are basically white worshipping niggers, or they are what the Jews tell them their culture is. Because what were niggers before, like, gangster rap?
Well, everybody loves the pyramids.
But, I mean...
And I mean, that's black culture, right? I mean, the pharaoh was a nigger.
Well, it was like one pharaoh... was a nigger.
I don't think any of them were, to be honest with you. But I mean, where does this idea really come from? The Jews had to give them this idea, because I don't think that, like, some nigger was sitting around a few years back and just said, one day said, you know, Egypt being Africa, we was kings. I don't think it just happened like that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe at some point in history there were niggers that could, like, read and do speeches and shit. Like, Marcus Garvey wasn't retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But niggers were dick washers, though, in Egypt. I mean, it's like every depiction of... You've seen that. The depiction from the inside of one of the pyramids or whatever. And you've got, like, the ruling class of Egyptians, as we know what Egyptians actually are, and they're standing up, and they've got these nigger slaves on the ground holding their dicks and washing them with a rag. They weren't kings, they were dick washers.
Hold my dick, nigga.
Yeah, wash it.
Yeah, dude, these people, like, maybe they just evolved, because, I mean, black people are, they're faggots a lot too, right? So they're,
yeah,
maybe their propensity towards homosexuality was something that they, you know, came at, like, evolutionary or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I mean,
well, nigga, you know, we was dick holders. So, man, I'd be holding up the fucking family, you know, my whole my culture, nigga. Let me hold your dick.
It's an animal thing. You know, it's like a dog. I mean, dogs, obviously, I mean, like, you know, they want to mate with the female, but if there's not an available female around, they'll hump a male dog if it will let them.
Well, they're animals, and I think that's what they have in common here.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's an animal thing. And, you know, one thing that they... that is absolutely true is this thing about, you know, in prison.
You're coming in a little... you're coming in a little staticky. What?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. In prison, they will have sex with the punks. I mean, with no shame whatsoever. And if you say something to them about it, they'll be like, well, you know, a nigga got to get some, and it ain't no women in here. It ain't gay. I get out. I ain't going to be messing none of these punks. I'm going to get me a woman. But, you know, I'm in here. I'm going to give me some booty. Fuck it.
Jesus Christ. These fucking savages.
Yeah. Fucking I'm telling you.
Heathens, dude. Just godless fucking heathens.
Yeah. Monkeys.
Yeah. Ooh.
Retarded monkeys. Yeah. I mean, you know, Coco the gorilla died this week.
Yeah, cry me a river.
And, you know, Coco the gorilla, her IQ had been estimated at upwards of 90 by the scientists who tested her and all that. And the highest median Negro IQ in the world is that of American blacks, and it's only 85. Yeah, so it's not really fair.
Coming in at a, you know, a solid 85%. That means that, like, a lot of them are, like, you know, 60s, 70s. You should, and you know what, when you listen to these college football interviews, and these blacks are just struggling to get out these fucking sentences that aren't even complex. Like, these questions that they're asked after the game are such softball questions. Like, what did you think whenever you got the ball? And they're like, I thought run.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was out there.
I was looking.
Ball, it come my way, and you know, and then they tackle me, and I'd be like, you know, man, football, tough game.
Yeah,
tough
you game. Know, I got 32 touched. You know, I cut the ball 32 times. I've been shit, man. I got hit in the head so much. We got a touchdown, but you know, it hurts when a nigga lose. I'm sorry, you know, shit, but I can't. You know, that's just how I talk and stuff. Yeah, but these, so what the hell these black guys got to say? My point, though, is I don't think blacks really have a culture of their own. They're sort of chameleon people. Shapeshifters. Well, I mean, they're tools.
Can you name any famous black philosophers from antiquity?
No.
Who is the black Socrates?
Shit, man. Socrates was black.
If you don't have real philosophers, you don't have a culture.
Socrates was black, my nigga. Get woke. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tariq Nasheed
is Mozart.
Like...
Mozart.
Tariq Nasheed is the number one philosopher of black culture today. And it's just like a fucking lie. I want to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be awesome if we could get... like some Negroes, or especially some white or Jewish Negro apologists on the show. And I'm throwing down the gauntlet. If you think that a world without Negroes would be a worse place than a world with Negroes, then Larry, give them the email.
Yeah. You send me an email at hatehouse@tutanota.com.
Yeah. We'll get you right on here. Fuck it.
Shoot me an email.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see what these guys got to say.
Or if you're a Jew and you think you deserve to live, email.
They love black culture, but when it comes to black people, they're kind of, let me grab my kid, let me touch my purse a little tighter. Yeah.
Growing up, there was a white kid who told me that he didn't want to play with me. And I came home and I told my mom, Mom, wash my skin so I could play with all the other kids.
I can tell you how many times I've been asked, oh, you know, deliver this, wheel this around. That I've
get the help. What are you doing? Yeah, get a shovel or a hoe or something. Don't you see there's leaves on the sidewalk beside you? What the fuck kind of neighborhood do you live in?
Yeah, pick up that wrapper.
Yeah.
But
he's like, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm a software engineer.
I understand what he's saying about that, you know, a kid didn't want to play with him because his skin was dirty, because it does look dirty. And I remember, you know, the first time that I ever had to interact with Negroes was in first grade, because I lived in complete segregation until I was in the public school system where they forced us together. And some nigger was getting uppity about something. And I told him, well, yeah, but your skin is the color of my shit. And he said, yeah, but we shit white, so your skin the color of my shit. I went, bullshit, bullshit. And all the other niggas like, no, we don't. But so they acknowledge that their skin is the color of shit. They should understand that people don't want to, like, have it rub off on them.
Yeah, no, only brainwashed, you know, white traitors want that. Well, like, oh, no, I want to give my kid that caramel complexion. It's just so beautiful. It's like, no, you're an actual crazy person, and you should be ashamed of yourself for wanting to give your child an identity crisis before it's even fucking born.
Yeah, but I mean, even a kid, even a young white kid knows better. You know, everybody's trying to reduce politics now to where it's like politics according to children, whatever makes children happy. Well, let me tell you, if they want that, then they should go find 6-year-old Asmodor, because I remember the first time that I ever met and spoke with a nigger was the first day of first grade. I walked into class, and you know, my mother dropped me off, said, yeah, this is his name. He knows how to spell his name and count to 10, all this shit. And teacher said, sit down wherever. And I looked around, and there's this nigger sitting in the back. And I'd never spoken to one. So out of curiosity, I went and sat down next to him. I was like, hey, how you doing? And he's like, and I was like,
he's 5 years old and sounds like he's fucking 47.
Yeah, and I said, well, my name, but I mean, and I couldn't understand. I was like, what?
My name is Asmodor. Okay.
Well, my name's so-and-so. What's your name? And this went on for about 2 minutes, and I was like, okay, well, nice meeting you. And I got up, went and sat next to a white kid, and I was like, something ain't right with that kid. He's like, well, yeah, he's a nigger. I was like, oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he's Nick.
That was all I needed to know.
Yeah, perfect, dude.
I mean, that was the whole conversation, was, you know, me trying to speak to him in human language and him going,
well, that's so crazy, because in the episode that we recorded last night, it's going to get released, you know, probably at, you know, 25 minutes after this one gets released, which is really going to piss people off because it's going to fuck the numbers up in autism and shit.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, I had audio issues last night, and people are already going to be pissed off because it's just going to cut off in the middle of Ranbot's story, which was awesome. And we got to hear it all, but no one else is going to get to, because my voice meter took a complete shit last night. God fucking damn it. But he was saying the same thing about his first encounter with a Somalian, or what he calls a light bulb head nigger.
Right. Yeah, they're alien niggers.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Space alien niggers.
Yeah, dude. Lil Wayne niggers. Like, something, I am a Martian. Lil Wayne. But, yeah, so here, what's this black guy complaining about? Because they always be bitching about something.
Who's there to sort of care for patients?
This box, that we can only be ignorant, that we can only come from single parent home, that we can only
don't nax out on me, ho.
The truth is that being black in America is like people are scared of you or
being stopped by law enforcement for no real good reason.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh my god.
If a black guy has a hoodie on,
they see thug no matter what.
We have a 14-year-old to have some really difficult...
Very difficult if you just say, like, listen, son, don't be a fucking nigger. And it looks like this bitch is mixed as is, so...
Well, you know, they have these difficult conversations with them where the conversation radicalizes their children to hate and fear white people and cops and shit. And, you know, that's why they'll attack white people and run from cops and one way or another get themselves shot.
Yeah, and that guy...
That's some great parenting.
Yeah. these people, I mean, really?
The for real parenting would be like, okay, listen, son. First of all, don't be committing crimes and stealing shit. And, you know, don't be getting all grabbing the white girls' asses and shit. And you'll be all right. And if a cop comes up to you and asks you a question, like he asked for your ID, to give it to him. Say yes, sir, no, sir, and all that. And everything's going to be cool. But they never give them that conversation. They're like, these honky policemen is going to try to claim that you did a bunch of shit that you didn't do. And then
so fight them motherfuckers.
Yeah, fight them, get away, save your life.
And then you win, nigga. They ain't going to chase you no more after you get away that one time.
Yeah, if you can just pop out of their field of vision for 1 second, they'll give up.
Yeah, it's as those other niggas thought when we last talked about together. It's illegal to chase them, right?
Yeah, well, it was for a while there.
What?
And it was, in a lot of places, and it was a dumb rule. Starting back in the 90s, it might have been a little earlier, it was happening in a lot of liberal cities, where they would say, okay, unless we have evidence that they've committed a felony, if we have to chase them for like more than two blocks or whatever, we're going to break it off, because there had been some pretty bad episodes where, you know, the cops would get in a high speed chase with somebody where they were just pulling them over for, you know, speeding or something like that, and they'd take off and the cops would get to chasing them at over 100 miles an hour and like wipe out and kill a family in another car that was uninvolved with the shit. And so their solution was to stop chasing them. So you mean
to turn the city into an actual fucking Grand Theft Auto map?
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I think I might have heard them talking about this on maybe on Third Rail. I don't know. I was out in the car today, so I was listening to podcasts. And apparently, the city of Austin has a new policy where they will not prosecute, won't even send the cops out for what they call petty thefts. Petty theft is like below $500.
Yeah, so niggers and spicks can steal stuff. It's totally fine.
Right. Well, then they straight up said because it disproportionately affects communities of color. And so what they're saying is go to Walmart and fucking just load your arms up with tools and stereos and shit. Just make sure it's under $500 and run out, nigger. We're not going to arrest you.
Yeah, if you can get out of here and out of the parking lot, no one's going to come get you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the employees at Walmart aren't going to risk their ass trying to tackle you if the cops aren't even going to come.
Mm-mm. Or if
the cops do come, they're like, ring this shit up. And they're like, well, it comes up with tax and all, $498.72. Like, well, you're just going to have to let that nigger leave with this stuff.
Yeah, dude. Well, this fucking, I bet there's probably like some fucking policy that you can't stop people who are shoplifting or something in the store. I don't know. Maybe one of the listeners will be like, hey, I used to work at Walmart and shit. Where's the fucking, you know, we can't do that. So hopefully in the comments someone will tell us whether or not. I mean, not that it fucking matters what Walmart's policies are as far as getting shit stolen from them and stuff.
Well, I mean, and the thing is at Walmart, you know, if they slip around to the front and then bolt out, I mean, there's nobody out there to stop them except for the 80-year-old dude who says, welcome to Walmart.
Or the fucking, like, literal retards.
Yeah, and if you go into a Walmart in the middle of the night, it's like all these niggers working in there. They're probably not going to want to do anything.
No, they'd be like, what
do you mean
still?
I got to chase this motherfucker?
Shit,
I
respect your hustle, nigga.
Yeah, they paying a nigga $8 an hour, but fuck this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, nigga, I ain't a cop. Shit.
Walmart got insurance. Fuck this.
Yeah, these white motherfuckers can take care of it. It's like, little do you know, nigga, but yeah, so.
I think it was the first time I got my driver's license, right? You're taught. Your mom will sit you down and tell you, look,
if a police officer stops you, this is what you're supposed to say.
Dude, it's like, listen, that's what normals do. These lessons into practical use. Like, You can't put them to use. Like, you get pulled over and shit, and you want to turn and get, like, a fucking speeding ticket that might be $150 into, like, life or death situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking high rollers,
apparently they
dude.
Didn't listen, though, because every fucking video that you see of an interaction between a black person and a cop, whatever the cop is trying to do, they're like, man, I ain't trying to hear all that shit. Fuck you. You know? This shit ain't the law. I ain't got to sign that shit.
It's like as if you can fucking read a book, that, like a law book, nigger, and understand what it's saying. You might be able to like sound out some words because, you know, you had your fucking mom picked up a hand-me-down version of Hooked Up on Phonics at the local thrift store or something. You paged through it a little bit because you were bored. But I doubt it. And you'll be like, oh, fuck, what did that just say? So these niggers don't know what is legal and what's not. That guy the other week, oh, shit, I didn't think you could chase me, man. Fuck. Ooga booga. Yeah.
I got to show you my ID for what? You are operating a motor vehicle on the public roadway. Yeah, that's some kind of law?
Yeah, dude, fucking niggers would be like, yeah, they get asked that question and they do the little John thing. ID for what? turn everything into a rap song. But, yeah, so let's see what else they got.
Glove compartment to try and get your license or your registration because, you know, if they think you have a weapon, you know, you can get shot.
Because totally logical thing.
Yeah, well, unless you're white. I mean, if you're white and you have a weapon, you know, they ask you if you need bullets or anything.
Yeah, no. If you're like, oh, do you have a weapon? Yeah, I have one. And the cops will be like, oh, here, have another one. We confiscated this from some nigger earlier.
Yeah, cool. there's you don't some need registration the corner for over it. There. Why don't you go do a little target practice?
It's cool. You don't need a registration for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like what was that skit you were telling me about before the show we started? The guy was like,
oh, yeah, it was Eddie Murphy. Back when he was on Saturday Night Live, he did this skit where, it was like a news piece, and he goes and has himself fixed up to look like a white person. Of course, all it is a nigger in a suit with some white makeup on. He's still got his big, thick lips and all that. But he, at one point, he goes into a bank and he's, you know, in his white makeup and his blonde wig, and he sits down. And he's like, yes, I'd like to take out a loan. Like, how much you want? $50,000. And the guy piles like $100,000 on the desk and pushes it toward in cash and pushes it toward him and says, here, take it. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, just take it. Just don't worry about it. You don't have to pay it back. Just take it. And, you know, everything was like that. I mean,
oh, here, have some, like, or he'll be like walking down the street and the hot dog vendor's like, here, have a couple hot dogs on the house.
right. But it was just like some kind of fantasy world where just anything you wanted, it was handed to you because you were white.
Well, yeah, no, too. And it's also, you know, you the handed to you because you're white. It's like a nigger's fantasy where they get everything for free.
Yeah. But and the flip side of that is like there was this goofy movie from the early 80s called Watermelon Man. And Watermelon Man is this white guy who goes to bed one night and he wakes up and he's a nigger. And it's like he puts on his suit and he's walking to work in his white suburban neighborhood. He's walking up the sidewalk and all the neighbors start, what are you doing here? And like within seconds, I mean, like just an automatic thing, all the white people, like dozens of white people, come running out of their houses and chasing him with sticks and throwing shit at him, screaming, thief, thief, what are you doing here? Because this black guy is in a suit is out on the sidewalk.
Man, I mean, America used to be a nice place.
Yeah, but I mean, that's really how they think. I mean, if you're white, it's everything is easy. Everything's given to you. You never have to earn anything. But if you're black, all the white people have it in for you, you know.
Well, and I was going to say about, I mean, that idea, think about that idea, too.
I mean, this is a system I could go for.
But I wonder how organic that is, too. Like, because niggers weren't really uppity until Jews came in the picture. You know, they kind of understood that they were shitty. They were almost, like, almost content with being slaves.
They weren't uppity at all for the most part until after World War II. I mean, in the early 20th century, there were a few a couple of famous riot things, but of course they always got put down with extreme prejudice, no pun intended.
Yeah, and then it was just done.
Right. But it was the post-war period, you know, all the civil rights garbage and the Supreme Court decisions like Brown versus Board of Education and all the rioting and everything started in the 50s, and it really started to reach a crescendo in the 60s.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, the civil riots shit. And that, then what was the leading force in that?
Jews.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like, that they never want to mention. Like, you know, they made this whole... Have you ever seen Mississippi Burning?
I was just going to talk about that. The opening scene, those two white guys that were in the car. No.
Yeah,
those
Jews
were two fucking
from New
Jews.
York, who came down here to ruin Southern culture.
Segregation in the South.
Yeah.
In Mississippi in particular. That was back whenever Ross Barnett gave his I Love Mississippi speech. That's what Clayton Townley in the movie was. That speech that he gave was, based on the Ross Barnett speech, the I Love Mississippi thing.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I like the movie. I mean, of course, I was rooting for the real racist the entire time. I thought that one guy was like really badass. He was like, I don't give a fuck. We got 5,000 niggas here who can't vote. And as far as I'm concerned, they never will.
He's like, yeah.
So you can tell your commie nigger loving boss up north.
Well, but I mean, ultimately, it was some extremely virulent and very successful anti-white propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, both the actual events themselves and the movie.
Yeah, and I was watching, and we actually talked about this a little bit last night, the Bull Connor thing. There was a guy who had an interesting take on Bull Connor because he's like a personal hero of mine. I read a bit about him. And they were saying that, like, his tactics to keep segregation going in Birmingham is what, you know, hastened the action with the civil rights movement, the Civil Rights Act.
Are you talking about like the fire hoses and German shepherds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That hastened it. I mean, it was a heavy hand, which would work. You know what I mean? Like, that's how these people learn. It's through force. That's why they were kept fucking subjugated for 400 years. 6 million years a slave because, you know, Whitey will pick up a fucking bullwhip and crack it across the front of my fucking head if I don't act right.
Well, yeah, and you can't blame Bull Connor for not having realized how this was going to work, because it's the same thing as what happened to South Africa. I mean, you know, you live in a place where you've always had this Negro problem, and, you know, they'll rise up and get violent and start shutting shit down, and something has to be done with them, and there's no reasoning with them. There's no ordering them to stop. There's no telling them that this is an illegal assembly that you got going on here. Get the fuck out of the street or anything like that. You have to bring some kind of force on them. And so the international Jewish media comes and, you know, they not only document this stuff, but they agitate it. You know, they work with the Negroes and the Jewish agitators behind the Negroes, and they're ready for when this is going to happen. And so these guys roll out and do the only thing they've ever known to do that would work for something like this. And the media just goes for weeks on end about one particular incident going, oh my God, look at this. These people are just standing up for their constitutional rights as human beings and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, they have convinced all these dumbasses who don't have a stake in it, who don't live there, and who've never had to deal with it, how bad these white people are. And the next thing you know, these niggers are ruling over them.
Well, who in the world do you mean when you say they?
The Jews.
Yeah, we know. Everyone knows what's going on here. I listened to an interesting little clip of a speech today. Tyndall in Britain was talking about how he was saying how blacks were essentially a tool. He's like, blacks aren't as much the enemy as it is the white, Jews are not white, but the white traitor that rules that you know rules above you and shit. And I mean, I think everyone that's involved in the alt-right and white nationalism in general understands that shit. Like, yeah, niggers are shitty, but, like, you know, put an asterisk here, like, enter Jews, multiply that by fucking 10 million, because they're a very impressionable group, and then you get Jews that can actually mold these people into whatever, all sorts of things. Like, me and Jo joke about it now, how many different types of niggers we got. You know, we got Jesus niggers in the South. You know, these, like, Bible-thumping fucking Christian Jesse Peterson niggers. We got, you know, gangsta niggas in Chicago, like, murder you for a fucking Little Debbie cupcake. We got, you know, retard niggers, faggot niggas, you know, Jewish niggas, mystery niggas, all sorts of people. And that's because they're so easily molded. But, and then, by integrating them with fucking whites, right there, dude, you are making whites more niggerish, thus more impressionable. And now that's how we are where we are today.
Well, yeah, and that was the reason that, you know, the first thing that they went after so hard was to force them into the schools with white kids. And there were so many people at the time that this was happening who said, this will not result in lifting blacks up to the level of white students. What this will result in is lowering white students. They will lower everybody to the level of Negroes. And that's exactly what's been going on. I mean, decade after decade, standards have to be lowered and lowered and lowered so that they can graduate niggers. Because when these niggers don't pass sixth grade four or five times in a row, well, that's obviously due to white racism.
Yeah, and whenever you fucking encourage these people with, like, athletic scholarships, like, oh, never mind that fucking, you know, Jamal had a GPA of fucking 0.7. He, you know, was an all-state running back, ran the fucking, you know, 4,000 yards or some shit with, like, 975 million touchdowns his senior year. Yeah. So, but you incentivize that shit, and these people just, man, fuck school. I don't gotta learn nothing. I'm gonna run my ass out the hood or some shit like that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and all the fraud that goes with it, too, because I remember, I don't know if it was a federal law, I think it was a state law, but in the late 70s, they passed a law in Texas that if you weren't if you were failing more than one class or something like that, or maybe all of them, if you were failing a class, you could not participate in sports. So, like, you know, if Tyrone had a 59 in his arithmetic that week, then he couldn't play in the football game Friday night. And so, like, the fucking teachers stop requiring homework, or at least quit grading homework. And then on test day, they would actually give these niggers cheat sheets. Because the coach are like, we're going to lose without this nigger. I mean,
yeah, we need Tupac in there running the ball.
Yeah, I mean, this nigger weighs 350 pounds. Who else is going to keep the defense off our quarterback?
Yeah, Ooga Booga. Yeah, the only guy in the field with a little bit of fucking intelligence, because he what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's finish up this video here quick. I'll just let it play for a while. We can laugh over it, because we'll wrap up the first part of the show then. Ha ha!
Okay.
I do work with a lot of young black men. I mean, these young men are beautiful.
Faggot.
In every sense of the way, I think.
I love their dicks, you know, he says.
Because the way that I experience them is completely different than the way that people portray them.
As hard as it is to have conversations about racial tensions, I think that is needed.
Yeah, but let's think about that quick, because that's not really what these people want. They want to sit Whitey down and berate him.
Yeah, they always say they want to have a conversation about race, and I'm perfectly willing to have a conversation about race with blacks anytime, but I promise you, That's not what they want, because I'm going to tell them exactly what I think, and I'm going to back it up with my reasons for thinking that. And they don't want to hear that. What they want to do is for me to sit there and for them to explain to me what a bad, inbred, mayonnaise cracker-ass racist I am, and that my time is over.
Yeah, you retard-ass cousin fucking motherfucker.
Yeah, you dog-smelling cave cracker.
You dog smelling, cave dwelling, motherfucking nigger worshiping retard motherfucker.
Yeah, when you was in the cave, we was doing cackleless and shit when you was still in the caves.
You cackleless.
Yeah, we was doing cackleless and trigonometry.
Trigonometry.
Making flying pyramids. You can't make a flying pyramid without no trigonometry.
Yeah, nigga, we built the mountains on Mars. Yeah, dude. So.
I mean, well, look at the face on Mars. Obviously, a nigga.
So, yeah, here's a really crazy question is asked to whites and chinks now.
Do you feel like you have racist thoughts?
White chick. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He like asks the question to this like Asian dude, and this Asian fucking cry through his problem shit. He like biting his lip, he's quivering. He's like, yeah, it's in me.
It's in me. I know. And as much as I want to say the right answer.
Yeah, sir. The right answer is supposed to be like, no racism. Yeah, I'm against racism, dude.
Well, there is no right answer though, because if he says he doesn't have racist thoughts, then that proves that he's an extreme racist. It's just like, if you don't have any black friends, then you're a racist, am I right?
But if you have that one black friend, then you're racist because you show him off.
Or if you have a bunch of black friends and you're accused of being a racist, you say, look, I got a bunch of black friends. They're like, yeah, that's what racists always say.
Yeah, you got a bunch of black friends to cover up your blatant racism.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Jesus fucking Christ.
Look, if you're a white person, there is no winning except one way, and that way is fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not playing your game, but fuck you.
Dumb niggers.
Yeah, I am not. I mean, well, to whoever's bringing this shit up, whether it's that or whether it's, you know, some Jew who's stirring this shit up, or some left-wing white who's bought into all this bullshit, you just got to tell them straight up, fuck you. I am not buying in to your guilt-ridden commie horse shit. You know, suck my dick, bitch. Pretty much. I mean, and they never know what to say. Yeah, I'm a racist.
You're like,
by whatever definition you call a racist, I promise you I'm worse. And you know what? I don't give a fuck.
I love it. It's fucking
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I'm a racist, and it's the only proper and moral way to be.
Yeah.
Because like Muhammad Ali said, I'm a white man in my right white mind, and I don't want a bunch of Negroes coming along and marrying my white sons and white daughters, producing a spotted up race of ugly Negroes. I mean, I don't want it.
Well, no, and like he didn't want fucking white kids coming home with his kids either.
Yeah, and I support that.
Yeah, it's like I'm into that too.
That's less race mixing for the white kid.
And I'm all about it. If fucking black people are smart enough can get like an actual black nationalist thing going, good. I'm into it, dude. Like, I would be all about that shit. Get these people the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we got Liberia all set up and ready for them. Yeah, we can like, go over there and we can, you know, Spike Lee or who the fuck ever can take over for Chief Butt Naked and start running the country.
Yeah, dude, they were talking about this. I think it was on Heel Turn. I think it was actually Stryker who was saying about niggers. He's like, look, they don't want to be around us. And we don't want to be around them. So why the fuck are we?
Well, that's actually not true, though. They want to force themselves on us, but also have their spaces where they can be away from us. But they don't want it the other way around.
The ultimate thing that
blacks always demand is access to white people. I mean, it doesn't matter how far you try to move away from them. they are going to come. And if you even act like you might not be totally overjoyed that they're going to be living next to you, they're going to bring the federal government down on you.
Yeah. Yeah, they will come down at gunpoint and make you, like, I don't know, let them into your colleges and shit like they did in Alabama. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the same example that I always use, you know, you got the city of Dallas at one time full of white people, and some federal judge says, we're going to start busing the black and white kids together in school, so all the white people move out. So now the blacks basically at that time got the whole town to themselves. The whites had moved off and made suburbs. Well, immediately the blacks start uprooting themselves and moving to where the whites are. They must have access to Whitey.
Yeah, they need them Gibbs, dude.
Well, the Gibbs and you know, if you can live in an apartment where all the white people live, well, that's the nice apartments, of course, until it gets about 10% of your own people in there, and then it might as well be the fucking ghetto again, and all the white people are going to move out and go somewhere else, and you got to follow them.
Yep. Chase them down, dude, to the corners of the earth. But hey, yeah, we can wrap this first hour up. We're about 50 minutes in. We're not going to do a two-hour one tonight because of the large amount of content Hate House has produced this week. We'll let our people try to catch up.
We're spoiling these listeners.
Yes. Well, yeah. For the time being.
Well, they're going to develop these really high expectations, and we're not going to be able to meet them.
In like fucking 2 weeks when it's back to once a week, they're going to be like, whoa, fucking you did a bunch of shows the other week. It's like, yeah, I came into a lot of time off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but
If you want us to do these shows a lot,
make it
donate
job.
Like crazy. I mean, give like all that you. I mean, I'll say it like the preacher. You say, give till it hurts, and then give some more. And when Larry and I can both be well-paid professional racists, we'll put a show out every day. And we might even learn how to use voice meter.
Yeah, probably not though. But on that note, well,
we'll hire somebody who can.
Yeah. Fucking have to, dude. Skull's like fucking 47 inches thick. But we're heading off to break. We'll be back in like, I don't know, a couple of, well, it'll be like probably 10 minutes for us, a couple minutes for you people. So
yeah,
see you soon.
If there's any group of people in America who deserve to suffer, it's the white middle class. It's the people who have been warned for decades about where this country is headed, but who were too short-sighted, too timid, and above all, too greedy, too selfish to do anything about it. During the 1960s, when blacks were rioting and burning our cities, middle class whites refused to take a strong stand against them because that would disrupt the country even more and would be bad for business. Instead, they tried to appease the blacks with all sorts of new civil rights laws and other government programs. They tried to buy them off. The whites just wanted to continue indulging themselves. They didn't want to do anything that might require a bit of austerity in return for the long-term improvement of the country. In the 1970s, when the real push was on to racially integrate the country through forced busing and forced housing and forced employment laws, and many white working class people were demonstrating in the streets against this forced racial integration, the comfortable middle class, which was not being as adversely affected as the blue collar class, refused to become involved. The white lawyers and doctors and accountants and professors and engineers and small businessmen just looked the other way and kept on stuffing their faces. Their kids weren't being bused to black schools. Their employment wasn't being threatened by affirmative action. They certainly weren't going to jeopardize their own comfort and security and respectability just because of what was happening to working class white kids and working class white parents. Of course, many middle-class whites were concerned about the degenerative trends which were all too obvious in America during the 1960s and 1970s. They just weren't concerned enough to do anything. Their solution was just to vote Republican and keep making as much money as possible so that they could insulate themselves and their own immediate families from what was happening around them, and to hell with everyone else. And so we had the Reagan era, and the white middle class thought that their strategy of compromise and appeasement and selfishness had worked. Well, of course, it hadn't worked. Such strategies never work in the long run. People who will not fight eventually will be eaten by people who will fight. A community whose members are so self-centered that they will work only for their own personal benefit and not for the common good eventually will be destroyed by its enemies. And our enemies have been at work day and night. They opened our borders to the subhumanity of the third world and began building up their numbers. They encouraged feminism and began reducing our numbers by persuading our women that careers were more important than families. They infiltrated and took over our educational establishment and taught our children that they should be ashamed of their own race, that their own history and traditions weren't worth learning about. And the children of the white middle class learned instead that doing drugs and putting safety pins through their noses and wearing baseball caps backward and listening to black rappers is cool. And the daughters of the white middle class began bedding down with blacks and becoming pregnant with mongrel babies. And their parents didn't like it, but they tolerated it as long as they could hang on to their money and their comfort and their lifestyle. And eventually, the enemies of our people were strong enough to launch the Clinton era. But the members of the white middle class were still comfortable, and so they tolerated the Clinton era too, with all of its treason and degeneracy. They tolerated the total Judaization of their government. They tolerated the Clinton government's bombing of Belgrade to force Serbia into line with the New World Order. They didn't like it, but they tolerated it. And so now the fruits of all that toleration are almost ready to be harvested. And it's about time. It's about time for the white middle class to have to deal with the problem of 30 million blacks who believe they are entitled to reparations and who very shortly will be clamoring for $100,000 from every white family. They believe they're entitled to at least $5 trillion in reparations from us because we tolerated the Jewish media pumping expectations of that sort into them during the past 50 years. We tolerated all of the Hollywood films and the television propaganda telling them about how they were persecuted and mistreated by us for 400 years, and that they really are equal to us, and the only thing which has kept them from achieving what we have achieved is white racism. We knew it wasn't true. We knew it was Jewish lies. But we tolerated that propaganda rather than risk being called racists for contradicting it or anti-Semites for pointing out who the liars were. And we also proved to 30 million blacks that we're a bunch of wimps who won't fight for our people or for our own rights. They believe that the white man owes them $5 trillion and that he doesn't have the guts or the gumption to stop them from taking it. It'll be an interesting fight. And you know what? I'll be cheering for the folks demanding reparations. I think it's about time for the soft, white, middle class to begin facing reality and to experience a bit of trauma and privation. Perhaps it'll help a few of them learn how to survive in the jungle from which they have been too far removed for too long.
And we are back from break. Still... Larry Ridgway, nigga didn't change his name on break, and I'm still with Asmodor, and we got some stuff that niggers are up to, you know, these sneaky, sneaky people, and in this case, these rapey, rapey people. We got motherfucking Corian Shemonte Gillum, Yeah. Yeah, dude. This guy. He got quite the nickname, too. You know, his rap name or something.
Trap Boy.
Yeah, Trap Boy with an I at the end of it. Jesus fucking Christ. Well, guess what he was arrested for? In typical Negroid fashion, two rapes, and the detectives believe that there may be more victims. Well, those detectives must be white racists to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably white racists just for thinking that he did these two.
Yeah, there's no evidence, I bet. They picked this guy up, and he's probably like,
you know,
shit, man, there ain't no evidence. This nigger has, like, Velcro hair that he hasn't brushed out in probably years, and it looks like it's been blown the fuck up with, like, a leaf blower. His dead, soulless jaws, shark eyes, his buck teeth and shit, huge pontoon boat lips.
Well, I remember back when it was in the 90s, and I don't know if it was like, it probably wasn't Johnny Carson. It's probably Jay Leno by then, or it may have been Letterman, but I think it was Leno. And Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet from The Cosby Show, I don't know if they were married or if they were just boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, but they both went on, and they both had, you know, the long snake turd dreadlocks. And Leno asked them about it, you know, what do you, how do you get the dreadlocks like that? And
he sounded like him.
Yeah. And Lisa Bonet says, well, you know, if this is just natural black hair. And he said, yeah, I mean, I look around and most of the black people's hair is not like that. And she says, well, this is what a black person's hair looks like naturally after you quit washing it. You quit washing it, and after a year or so, this is what it looks like. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I bet they smell like baboons.
Well, it's fucking horrible, too, now, because you have, like, white faggots that will, you know, like these deadhead cult freaks that,
yeah,
you know, they don't shower and they get...
Well, the thing is, they have to actually spend money on that shit to get their dreadlocks. I mean, if you go into a head shop or whatever, usually they have all this crap that they sell to make dreadlocks out of white hair. I mean, I guess, you know, I've got long hair, and
you should do dreadlocks.
I should, but I've never gone more than. I mean, like, I've gone camping and gone like 2 or 3 days without washing my hair, but it never remotely looked like it was going to turn into dreadlocks.
I'm saying you should do dreadlocks.
I know I should. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I probably won't.
You should dreadlock your beard, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I should.
Or braid it.
But I probably won't.
I probably won't.
I mean, I'm an underachiever when it comes to that kind of shit.
Get some fucking dreadlocks and stuff. Now, that would take dedication to make white people's hair as shitty as niggers. So
yeah, I mean, it's all kinds of shit that they have to put on it. And what's funny is it's one way to really piss niggers off. Like, there's a famous video where, like, it's some skinny white hippie fucker, and it's at a college, and he's walking through this hall, and suddenly this nigger bitch who's a I think it turned out she worked for the school, like a janitor or something. I don't know, but she didn't even have dreads, but she accosts him and starts like, what are you doing being a white motherfucker with dreads? That's cultural appropriation, motherfucker. And he started trying to explain himself to the Negro, which is always a bad idea. He's like, oh, all kinds of ancient white culture had dreadlocks. The ancient Greeks had them. The Vikings had them, and all this. And I'm thinking, you watch too many movies. But
wrong answer. That's when you fucking look that soulless creature in the face and say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Out of my way, whore. You know, something like that.
Then
but
you go home and shave your dreadlocks and stop being a faggot.
And she grabs hold of him and won't let him go. And it ended up in like a screaming contest and stuff. And then, of course, you know, it got on the news, and the news went and interviewed him. And when they come and interview him, he's wearing a t-shirt and a fucking skirt. And I'm like, oh, I cry for my race. I really do.
These fucking pathetic people.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I don't know.
And Chuck Taylors. You know, I mean, it's gotten to where, and it didn't used to be this way, but if somebody's wearing Chuck Taylors, a white person, that's really a signal. And it's a signal that they're one of these fucking leftist fuck nuts.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that wear Chuck Taylors, and one of the things that they almost all have in common is that they're fucking gay.
It used to just be like a cool but still cheap pair of sneakers to wear. Like, you know, when I was like 20 years old, you could buy a pair of Chuck Taylors for like $18. And, I've had a pair or two in my life, but I wouldn't be caught dead in them now.
Yeah, get yourself some PF Flyers, man.
Whatever those are.
Yeah, they're like fucking Converse.
I wear New Balance exclusively now, the official shoe of Neon Nazis.
Neon Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that article. What in the hell is a neon Nazi?
Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
These fucking people are just, they're just so fucking stupid.
Ask a Jew. Yeah. They'll tell you.
Yeah, and they're in their fucking absolutely lunatic, like crazy lunatic way of explaining things. But no, fuck these people. But yeah, fucking Corian Shemonte, this nigga, in jail. Holy shit. But his face, yeah, dude, this fucking mugshot of his on the Daily Stormer. Man, like, what a facial expression.
Well, when you look at this picture of him, it makes you think, how in the world can these horrible racists ever compare blacks to gorillas? Because he doesn't look anything like one.
Dude, he looks just like one. Yeah. It is absolutely insane. So, Jesus Christ, like his lips, dude, look at those things. His lips
Why do they hire white people to play apes in like these Planet of the Apes movies and spend all that money on either makeup or CGI when they could just hire niggers like this?
Yeah, they could, but that'd be racist, yo. That ain't an accurate, motherfucking portrayal and shit, whitey. But you always be portraying shit in the wrong light and stuff. You know, you be saying that motherfucking, like, Jesus is white. Jesus was a nigger, you know, nigger. But, yeah.
He was a handsome white man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was.
I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I saw, like, one in person. I saw one of the really famous Raphael pictures, paintings of Christ in at the Indianapolis Museum. And he was a very fair-skinned, blonde-headed, blue-eyed white man. Very good-looking.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he posed for the picture, so.
It is what it is. Yeah, he was posed for the picture, handing out autographed copies of the Bible. So, I guess that pretty much wraps it up for Nog Boy. You know, fucking.
Well, I mean, he raped a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old who ran away from home.
Sounds like the beginning stages of a prostitution ring.
Yeah, yeah. But his name reminded me of something. You know, his name's Corian Shemonte Gillum. So he has two names with apostrophes in them, or as the nigger calls it, the high comma. And when my nephew was born back in 1990, went to the hospital. You know, my sister's having a baby, and while we're waiting on her to have the baby, there's one other couple up there having a baby, and it's this nigger couple. And so, you know, the nigger father and his father and mother were up there, and they're all looking through the glass at the nigger baby. And the nigger grandpa says, "Well, so what y'all naming him?" And he said, "We naming him Xavier Latavia." And he said, Xavier Latavia. He said, "Xavier Latavia, whatever happened to regular names like John or Joe or something like that?" He said, "Well, we're going to call him LT for short." He said, "Oh, okay then." Yes. And like, yeah, I can say that. But then I thought, But his name is Xavier Latavia. Where the fuck do you get LT from that?
Must be from the Latavia part, like Latavia. Xavier, yeah, but I mean, Latavia.
Shouldn't it be XL? And it would have been correct because this little nigger baby was born 13 pounds. So yeah, XL would have been a good name for him.
Little fat nigger child.
Yeah, extra large.
Yeah, breathing in all the good white man's air with his big fucking nostrils.
Yeah, spreading. Don't trust that new nigger over there.
Yeah, dude. If I can insert fucking Daniel Carver warning, 9 of 10 niggers are infected with AIDS drop.
Right, well, here. Yeah, but I mean, it just makes me think of Uncle Ruckus saying, don't trust them new niggers over there, spreading their nigger essence through the air. Oh, me. But yeah, I remember, like, in about when I got out of prison in like 1997, I paroled out to my grandparents' house, and they lived in Palestine, Texas. And this is back when they would have, like, in the little local towns, there would be like a Channel 2 that they would do, you know, it would be a big blue screen with white letters, whatever was being typed on there. And, you know, if the police wanted people, that'd be on there, and the weather'd be on there. And they would announce the names of the new, nigger babies. And this was when I first noticed the high comma phenomenon. It's like every nigger baby that came on that thing, his name would be, you know,
Delantrius
Tequintus or something like that. And the name would start with a T and then an apostrophe and then whatever other nigger babble.
Tequintus,
or yeah, you know, whatever.
Chakabagalaka.
Yeah, Denisha, and it would be like D apostrophe N-E-I-S-H-A, Denisha.
Yeah, or like Chulon.
But I saw a couple, and I couldn't tell you what the names were, but I saw a couple where it would be not like the first and middle name, but one name would have two apostrophes in it. Like that name would be separated twice with apostrophes. I'm like, this don't even make no sense.
You should, like, Sheree Taewon.
Yeah, but I mean, in a sane world, when the nigger sits down and they say, okay, what's his name going to be? And they say, okay, well, it's going to be Quintus. And
Xavier Latavia.
You spell it T, high comma, and they're like, okay, look, nigger, we do not allow punctuation in the middle of names. That's not how this shit works. Try again.
Yeah. I'm going to name my son Trap Boy Pimp Hand Jackson.
Well, you know, Frank Zappa, he gave all of his kids stupid hippie names. Like, he named one Dweezil, and he named his daughter Moon Unit and all that. But he said, like, when he sat down and the nurse or whoever was filling out the paperwork with him said, what's the child's name going to be? So I'm going to name her Moon Unit. And they were like, no, you don't want to name him that. And they tried to talk him out of it for like 30 minutes. But I bet nobody ever says anything to these niggers.
Dude, Moon Unit?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's his daughter's name. It's Moon Unit.
No, it's not.
And Zappa claims that he never took drugs.
Is he a Jew?
No, he's a dune monkey. I mean, he's totally American, but he's a dune monkey. Mm. By totally American, I mean was born here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's just as American as you or I, right? Yeah, fucking Jesus Christ, dude. Well, yeah. I don't know, man. Where do you want to go next? You want to go to these two African children fucking talking
shit?
Oh,
yeah, might as well. You want me to read the Jermaine part here?
Well, hold on, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude. These niggas are here to fucking wreck shit. Yeah, so God,
did I stutter motherfucker? Well, I mean, this is what they were talking about earlier. If we didn't have black people, we wouldn't have music like this.
Yeah, dude.
And how would we make it?
Let's listen to the actual raps, dude. Do a little critique here of this culture.
Okay. Okay.
My niggas. This guy's out in his fucking front porch counting his slaves and stuff. But yeah, no, at the end,
I mean, we just listened to what, approximately 30 seconds of niggers saying absolutely nothing.
No, we got to get to the end of the song. I'm just going to fast forward.
Oh, go for it.
But dude, holy shit, does he start saying some like real nig tier shit. It's great. And he's like, "Oh, I will shoot
you." Oh, we haven't hit the nig tier yet.
Dude, he's like, "I will shoot you in the face, motherfucker." Real grime niggas, dude. You know?
Niggas good with their aim giving dome shots.
Dude, this guy comes on now. I think he's the one that's like, "I will like shoot you in the face." Talking down, you better have your shit straight. Shit's better yet, fuck them all like this mixtape. Fuck you niggas, bitch, mate. Bitch, I shank you, man. Turn your white tee burgundy like Anchorman. Meet me at 3 and it's already full. That's CP time, dude. Really, you're paying the nigger tax now.
Yeah.
No, but... Pull out 2 9s and straight war and sap a nigger.
Straight war to stab a nigger.
No, war and sap, dude. That fat fucking bald nigger in Tampa Bay. He played for Bucks.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, pull
well,
out
what's
two
the pull
nine.
Out 2 knives part about that?
Pull out 2 9s because his number was 99.
Oh, 2 9s. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
see, I'm not on your level of primatology. I'm an amateur primatologist. It's hard to understand these new niggers.
Yeah, he said, "Oh, fucking pull out 2 9s and Warren Sapp a nigga, ooga booga shit." Like, dude, these fucking guys, like the, yeah, it's perfect aim given dome shots. It's like, yeah, but I mean, there's plenty of evidence to point to the contrary.
Yeah,
black people can't shoot worth shit. But yeah, what were we just gonna do? Oh, we were gonna talk about those niggers, right?
Yeah, those migrant children, those Africans. Yeah, so two migrants have attacked the crew of an ambulance in Ottobrunn. This is Germany. The emergency doctor suffered a broken... Apparently, they have doctors in the ambulances there.
Did you say that these are African kids? This is in Germany?
Well, they're call children. These are German children. These fucking 30-year-olds or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
it's in Germany.
These are German. These are German children.
No, they're African children.
These are German children, Goyim.
Oh well, yeah.
These are children of Deutschland. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, German is not a race or an ethnicity. It's
no, it's a social construct.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Matumbo Bakadingdu is just as German as you are, Otto.
That's right. The emergency doctor suffered a broken jaw, brain injuries, and lost several teeth. The emergency vehicle drove up to a nursing home on Autostrasse to assist emergency responders who were treating life-threatening illness there. While the emergency services of the fire brigade was in the building, the emergency ambulance arrived. At that moment, a 20-year-old African migrant attacked the vehicle and threw a full bottle of whiskey on the window on the passenger side of the vehicle from about 1.5 meters away. The bottle broke through the window, hit the emergency doctor sitting in the car in the middle of the face, and knocked out several teeth. She suffered, as a female... She suffered a broken jaw, traumatic brain injuries, and facial cuts. The paramedic who drove the vehicle suffered light cuts from the splintering of the glass. The migrant duo, who were violent earlier that evening. Our 17-year-old Ethiopian and a 20-year-old Eritrean, who are said to be unaccompanied refugees.
Refugees. That's very problematic language, because these people are Germans.
Well, I mean, apparently, the Germans need refuge from these fuckers.
Well, dude, emergency personnel, that's the enemy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I saw this story, it reminded me, because, you know, the Negroes are very famous for doing that here. Like, you know, there'll be some, and it's been going on for decades and decades. Like, you know, there'll be some project building on fire in Niggertown. And so the white firefighters will come out in the fire truck to put out the fire, and the niggers will be all up in the high floors of the other buildings throwing cinder blocks down at him and shit and shooting at the firemen and stuff.
Yeah, that was that was a focal point in the American History X movie, that Jewish propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Derek's dad was killed by, he was a firefighter that was putting out a fire, and these niggers shot him.
Wow. Well, and I remember when I was a kid, when I was about five, when we first moved to Tyler, and I saw the fire trucks here, and they were all bright yellow. And it turned out that the reason that all the fire trucks were bright yellow was that they, you know, the deep thinkers on how to stop these niggers from shooting at the fire trucks and shit when they would come to Niggertown to put out a fire was that, well, you know, the red fire trucks must make them angry, you know, like a bull at the bullfight. So we'll paint them yellow.
Oh, my God. Very problematic equating these people to animals.
Yeah, and it didn't work, and the fire trucks are red again now. But, I mean, it was the faggiest thing, too. It's like, the fire trucks are fucking yellow.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yeah, they just wanted to be like, these people were Beatles fans, let's be honest, Asmodor.
I guess, I don't know. But, you know, when you, I mean, how does it not occur to people that, okay, fires break out in Niggertown. So we come in to put out the fires and try to save the niggers. Other niggers see white men driving in and begin shooting at them for no good reason whatsoever. The problem is the color of the fire truck, not the presence of the niggers. And the fact that you would paint your trucks yellow instead of just enacting a policy, well, you know, when things start burning in Niggertown, we're just going to let them burn themselves out. Just let it burn till it don't burn no more.
Just like fucking in Mississippi Burning, when those niggers were fucking, after those guys got, they got sentenced for, to like, you know, 15, 20 years in prison for killing that nigger or some shit. And he's like, oh, I can see that your actions were, you know, provoked, so I'm going to suspend your sentences. And all these niggas just like chimped out and burned all their houses down, and the police
just blocked
the shit off, and the FBI shows up and they're like, nope, you're not going in there. These niggas are just burning their shit. Fuck them. Like, let them rage and destroy their own property.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you do though? I mean,
no, it's and their property. Really,
you know, admit, I don't know what the factual basis behind that particular scene in there is, but it doesn't require that. I mean, you know, some old nigger grandmammy can leave the toaster oven on and catch your place on fire. And when in you know, if it's like south side of Chicago or something like that, and the fire truck moves in, they're liable to be getting shot at and having shit thrown at them from high floors of other buildings, like I was saying. And every now and then you'll read how they're having such problems with this shit that they basically have to send in like paramilitary police units with the firefighters. And this especially is going on not just with niggers, but like with the Muslims in Sweden and stuff. They're like, well, you know, there's a fire in there, so we need two fire trucks, four tanks, you know, a team of snipers. And I'm like, just let it burn.
Yeah, fuck these people. Just
let it burn.
No, but we have to take care of our Swedes, right? Although, didn't Sweden Democrats say that Jews aren't Swedes?
Yeah, they did. They said they have to assimilate.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I don't like this whole assimilation thing, though. Assimilation means they've got to move into our neighborhoods with us and intermarry with us and all this other stuff. And I'd rather them stay separate.
Yeah, listen to me being a fucking retard, like trying to think that it's what we need to do is make these people assimilate. Fuck them. What they need to do is just get Jews out of Sweden.
Yeah, yeah. And niggers out of America. Yeah. Well, Jews out of everywhere, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, if the Chinese want to take these Jews, good. If we could take all the Jews in the West and get them to go and live in China within 10 years, the whole balance of power would reverse. I mean, it would be the West that was like the manufacturing powerhouse of the world, and China would be fucking around in the Middle East fighting wars for Israel constantly.
Yeah. Dude, God damn it. Oh my God. When I think about these fucking rat people, it's just like the fact that they can just convince people to go to war from them. And I mean, they come at you with their fucking locks and their huge nose and they're like, oh God, there's a Holocaust going on over here.
Oh yeah. It's constantly a fucking Holocaust. I mean, and they're constantly reminding you of the Holocaust. I mean, you know,
remember last time you had borders that you respected?
Well, remember when Trump said, when he was running for office, and he said, my new campaign slogan is America first, right? Now, in any sane world, that would not be one bit fucking controversial. Or like if some guy is running for prime minister or whatever of Canada, and he says, my policy will be Canada first. I mean,
solid policy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be one bit controversial. I mean, who are they supposed to put first, right? I mean, they're running.
Is Israel.
It's not just Israel first or America first. The problem is these Jews insist that the policy be America last, right? And they started screaming, well, you know, this is pretty much the policy of this harkens back to Charles Lindbergh, who is a Nazi sympathizer who wanted a giant Holocaust and his America First committee. He was an anti-Semite.
Yeah, Charles Lindbergh, never mind the fact that he was like basically the fucking man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he American was like the most popular American in the world
American
for decades.
Hero, dude. American hero.
Yeah.
Guy like, when, but, basically, you know, like his story is actually pretty fucking cool. The transatlantic flight. That's awesome. The Lindy Hop.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we could have just had Henry Ford and Charles Lindbergh running things instead of like Eisenhower and shit, we would have, not Eisenhower, but
Roosevelt
and shit, we would have been doing good. But but the thing is, like the other day, up until the moment that Trump signed that executive order to keep the families together in jail instead of like bringing the children out of jail into a child's thing, they were saying, oh, this separating the children from their parents, just like during the Holocaust, they would separate the children from the parents and take them to the concentration camps.
And then they'd kill them.
You know, and yeah, I mean, it never ends.
Yeah, and then they'd take the kids and they'd make lampshades.
Yeah, lampshades and
soap.
Hair mattresses, soap.
Yeah, hair mattresses. They'd have just piles of shoes that they never disposed of them.
Right. Well, I mean, they were going to keep them, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were going to redistribute them to the Germans, apparently. But yeah, I mean, this Holocaust thing, I mean, it never happened. The camps they had over there were no different except that they were probably nicer than the camps that we had here for like the Japanese. And that's another thing, you know, they want to make us feel so fucking bad about having Japanese internment camps. Well, what do you expect somebody to do? You're at war with Japan and you got all these fucking Japs who are like, not even first generation. They're like Japanese immigrants and bunches of them still right speak Jap.
You don't know if they're fucking covert agents or what the hell is going on. So yeah, put them all together and watch them under supervision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any get them all in government one spot. Would do that to protect its people.
Yeah, and it probably, to be honest, it probably protected a lot of Japs from overzealous Americans, because Americans were pretty mad at Japs after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, true. It's a true fucking story. It worked both ways.
Yeah, and the only problem is, you know, they were so well run that George Takei lived through the experience. I mean, it's not like the country's a better place because that faggot's alive.
Oh, yeah, good fucking.
You know, I went through a concentration camp, but now I'm a big Asian homosexual.
Wait, hold on a minute.
George Takei, Mr. Sulu.
How the fuck did he go through a concentration camp? That was during World War II. That was like
80s. Yeah, he was a little kid. He's an old, old dude, man.
George Takei's like in his 80s, 90s?
Probably close to 80, yeah. I mean, he was on Star Trek in the 60s.
Oh, shit, man. I'm not too familiar with him. I knew he was a faggot, so I just paid him no mind because that makes me, like, physically sick.
Yeah, I mean, well, being a faggot became his whole thing. You know, that's how he stays in the news. That's how he stays relevant, that he's a faggot.
Yeah, how appealing, you know, a fucking faggot, an 80-year-old faggot.
Yes, I'm an 80-year-old faggot named George Takei. I once played Sulu. he is such a faggot, man.
Since then, my crowning achievement has been sucking dicks.
Yeah. And, you know, the Jew Howard Stern would have him on and do things like he would be the judge of the most beautiful penis contest. And, like, dudes would come in and let him handle their junk and all to judge so that they could win like a trip to somewhere or win $500 or whatever.
Good Lord.
I mean, just
peak Weimar degeneracy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's absolutely, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We are far, far beyond anything that happened in Weimar. And, I mean, you know, it's all the same stuff, but it's just to such an advanced degree. And I mean, you know, they had the transsexual experiments going on with that Jewish doctor whose name escapes me right now.
Right.
But I mean, we are actually indoctrinating like our kindergarten children to be transsexuals. And we have parents who are putting their prepubescent children on gender reassignment hormone therapy. You know, I mean, people should go to prison for and have their children taken away from forever. And society is endorsing this shit.
And Starbucks is like paying
Starbucks are paying for it.
Yeah, dude, perfect segue. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Perfect segue. But, what's up?
Yeah, go ahead.
You brought this up. Tell us about this new Starbucks thing they're doing, because they're so progressive, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Starbucks, they are like the first international coffee chain to ever turn their stores into a homeless shelter for crackhead niggers and such. They did that already, but now
give me some the headline coffee, on Daily Stormer
is a great story by Adrian Saul. Starbucks to turn all their employees into trannies as apology for the crack hobo thing. And it says, after pulling off the gutsy move of transforming their hipster coffee chain into homeless shelters, Starbucks had to know that their business would suffer for it, at least in the short term. Indeed, they had to announce that they would close some of their locations as their stocks dropped by a huge margin. But fear not, as the Jews running Starbucks had a plan to win back the favor of the hipster faggot crowd. In one word, trannies. And so this is from Pink News, which I guess is a big faggot news outlet. Starbucks has announced plans to offer comprehensive care for transgender employees, including covering several procedures that are usually excluded by insurers.
Yeah, like, don't worry. Insurance doesn't have to take care of it. We gotcha.
Yeah. In the new plan announced on Monday, Starbucks said that in addition to covering bottom surgery. Now, how disgusting does that sound? Bottom surgery.
Yeah, that sounds really gross. Like, let's turn your penis into a pussy. Like, you ready?
Yeah. They will now cover all other medical steps in a person's transition. This will cover several other procedures that were previously considered cosmetic, which can often be hard to obtain as insurers typically refuse to cover them. The international coffee chain will now top surgery, as well as covering all gender-confirming surgeries. The coffee chain will also help trans employees find appropriate doctors and healthcare providers.
No, notice the change in language there. Gender confirming surgeries. You know, not gender changing. Now it's gender confirming.
Yeah, rather than gender distorting.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're going to actually help them find the doctors and shit. Now, first of all, from a business standpoint, this guarantees that for every job opening Starbucks has, they are going to have like 100 hopeful trannies applying for the job. And just imagine how this will affect Starbucks' bottom line. But the bigger picture is, okay, Starbucks turned itself into a place for niggers to hang out all day, basically a nigger homeless shelter. And so now niggers get to go there and hang out all day and use the bathrooms and everything, and they never have to buy anything. And the place is going to be run exclusively by trannies. And so if it's exclusively run by trannies, it's only going to be faggots and the most limp-wristed of liberals who would put up with that shit and go buy coffee there anyway. But how long will the niggers put up with those type of people coming into their place?
Yeah, their homeless shelter.
Yeah, I mean, Starbucks basically told the niggers that Starbucks spaces belong to them.
Yeah, and whenever Whitey comes in, a paying customer tries to sit down in Jamal's seat who hasn't paid for shit, there's going to be a fist fight.
Yeah. And, you know, I've never understood why anybody would go drink that shit at Starbucks anyway. I mean, it's horrible. The coffee is for shit. Now, I'm not into all these frothy drinks that they sell, but I had somebody convince me to go to one once. And so I go in there and they're everybody's ordering up all these different lattes and shit with all the whipped cream and cinnamon and all that crap on it. I'm like, well, I want a cup of coffee. And they're like, okay, well, you know, we've got the Rocky Mountain Roast or whatever it's called. And it's, yeah, that's fine. Give me that. And it just tasted like shit, man. It was horrible. and that's actually the kind of coffee that I like, except early in the morning. You know, when I'm drinking coffee in the evening or whatever, I like what they call Seattle-style dark coffees. But the stuff at Starbucks is just fucking awful. And I remember it's like this 16-ounce coffee that I just wanted to spit out.
That was like probably $9.
Yeah, it was a huge amount. I'm like, fuck, man. We could have pulled through Dunkin' Donuts and got me a good cup of coffee for like a buck.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck Starbucks. No, none of our people are going there. That place is a fucking shitty. It's a liberal. It's a Democrat, you know, stronghold. I'm just kidding. The Democrats. No, it's for fucking faggots and niggers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always been a hipster thing, apparently. And now, I mean, surely they're not going to be feeling welcome there when the place is full of, you know, angry blacks who aren't buying anything. And everybody behind the dude, nobody wants to buy food from a fucking tranny. They're gross. I mean, even if you're like a liberal, but you know, you're basically a straight, I mean, even a lot of faggots. And I mean, if a dude who looks at a man's hairy ass and thinks that's beautiful and sexy is grossed out by you, you are fucking gross.
That fucking, it's like that one Sam Hyde skit about like being progressive. And she's like, wait, you don't think so? It's talking to a guy or some shit. It's like, so you don't think that a guy who, you know, has surgery and to get to be a girl is attractive? Fuck you, bigot.
Yeah. Well, and they actually say that.
You don't think 80-year-olds are as sexy as 20-year-olds? Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, you don't think a 300-pound woman with dozens of folds on her body is as hot as whoever the latest Sports Illustrated model is?
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, you fucking bigot. Yeah. But really, I mean, like, there was a video that a year or so ago went viral because, I mean, it was a seriously made thing where it's this male-to-female tranny, and it was like this skinny dude with long blonde hair who, I mean, it was just revolting to look at. And this thing is making the case that if you only go with real girls, but you're not attracted to or won't date or have sex with trans girls, that you're a fucking bigot and you should be forced to go with the trans girls. And I mean, this is how this shit works. It's just, you know, they just chip away and demand more and more and more until one day it's like, you know, the cops show up at your house and they say, well, you haven't fucked a trans girl this month. You're going to have to do a weekend in jail.
State enforced transsexual fucking. State enforced transsexual fucking.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. On that note, do you want to wrap it up? We're at 45 minutes here in the second part of the show.
Yeah, well, we might as well, because I don't know how much more deeper of a depth we can sink to.
Yeah, no, we're pretty low right now. Talking about...
Yeah, this is peak pause.
Yeah, dude. It's pretty exhausting. But, yeah, tell these niggas where they can find you on them internets and about your show and everything else if you want.
Oh, yeah. Well, a new crypto report posted Sunday. It's in the radio section of dailystormer.name. And if you go listen, I did ask for donations. I'm in need of donations at this time. I have a Bitcoin under there. So if you want to support my endeavors as an aspiring professional racist, I sure could use it. And so that's there. If you are a young white man of good character who's at least 18 years old, and I know there are a lot of really motivated younger fellas, but for our legal protection and the legal protection of the younger fellas, we don't accept anybody until they're 18 years old. So if you are a young white man of good character and you want to join a Stormer Book Club, email us at stormerbookclubs@airmail.cc. And... I guess that's about it, Larry.
Fucking, all right. Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to say. Send me email on them internets. There's so many emails. Hatehouse@tutanota.com. Fucking Larry Ridgway at tutanota.de. There's 7 million, 6 million email addresses.
Oh, you're on the Daily Stormer BBS now.
I am on the Daily Stormer BBS. Larry Ridgway, 1488.
That is him. And yeah. You should get on the Daily Stormer BBS if you can. Or if you're already on there, say hello to Larry. So I guess that's what we're up to. I'll be doing... Oh, and don't forget, on the new TKR, we have the second installment of the Dindu Report featuring TKR's chief primatologist, Larry Ridgway, and that really spices the show up, takes it to the next level. It turns it up to 11.
Turns, yeah, the ovens, dude, heats it up. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so that'll do it this episode. Put a close on doing the episodes for a week or so. I don't want people to think that it's going to be an everyday thing like it was there for a couple months, dude. I did like fucking 18 shows in, in like a month. Yeah. But yeah, so that's everything, and we'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.